To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Standard interview question. And one of the stupidest questions on the face of the earth. It's nearly as stupid as asking you, where do you see yourself in 5 minutes? We've no idea what's going to happen next. And there's no merit in us seeing ourselves anywhere in 5 years, because we can get to where is best for us in 5 seconds, were we only to open our eyes. I got an email from an online program owner a couple of days ago who told me that he had been asked just that question in what he described as a mind-numbing interview. It was mind-numbing because he was asked the same old corporate nonsensical questions. And there are a couple of underlying inferences in that question. Number one, we need to have a goal. We need to have an objective. We need to know where we're going. And number two, which is even more ridiculous, we have some control over where we're going. First of all, you don't need to know where you're going. Now, we've said this in last week's episode, where I actually said quite succinctly, you don't need to know where you're going. You need to know where you are. And I've repeated that now because it is oh so important. If you don't know where you are, there's no chance of you ever moving forward, because we move forward one now at a time on the basis of turning up to one now at a time. The other more ridiculous assertion in that question is that we all have some control over our lives. No, we don't. We have no control over anything in our lives other than the one thing that will change your life right here, right now, and that is what's going on in your own head. As we've said on so many occasions before, your life is determined by your inner world, not the outer world, and indeed the outer world is dependent upon your inner world. By that I mean that regardless of the fact that we might have no control over the outer world, we have great influence over everything that happens in the outer world when we are in control of our inner world. If I can put that another way, when I am in control of my inner world, I become a creator of opportunity. I become a creator of what we know as synchronicity. In other words, opportunities meant for you that will lead you forward. Now, in order to move forward at all, we need to make an impression on and in the present moment. Let's look at that, first of all, from the perspective of your relationships. If you're not present in the here and now, and say, for example, you have young children, you are doing and saying things to those young and impressionable children that will mark them for the rest of their life unless they are alert enough to listen to the kind of stuff that we're talking about here in later life. So many times over the years have I sat one-to-one or in groups with individuals who are parents of 2, 3, 5, 10-year-old children. And tears come to their eyes when they realize the damage they may well have done to their 2 or 3-year-old child, simply by not being present. And it isn't, you see, that you make no impression when you're not present. You actually, if you make any impression at all, make the wrong impression. Let's look at that from the perspective of the relationships that you have, as distinct from the parent-child relationship. If there is someone or a few people that you love in your life and you're not there for them, you only claim to love them. You're a liar. If you're not present for them, if you're absent, if you're lost in your inner world, then you have no influence on the outer world that includes those who are close to you, as a result of which you will misbehave and you will spread chaos instead of what we should be spreading. For starters, we should be spreading the calm, and perhaps more to the point, we should be spreading the joy. But we can't do that if we're not enjoying ourselves in the first place. In other words, giving ourselves joy. Again, it isn't the outer world that gives you joy. It is a choice that you make to enjoy the moment, regardless of what is going on in the moment. And this, again, is why it is so important to be in the moment and not allow your thinking mind influence you with regard to what it thinks is going on in the moment. In practical terms, that means with regard to today's challenges, and every day has its challenges, rather than balking at the challenges that confront you, rather than being afraid of them, rather than worrying about whether or not you can deal with them, rather than worrying about how much worse they could get, because that's what worry is all about, regardless of any of that, if I'm in the present moment, I'll just do what I need to do. And for example, sometimes doing nothing is the best thing that we can do. Very often, the challenges that we think confront us, when we do nothing about them, they go away. How many times have you had stuff on a to-do list? And we talked about to-do lists recently and the futility of having a to-do list. But how many times have things on a to-do list that you haven't got around to gone away of their own accord? How many times have people said to me that they look at their to-do list day in, day out and get frustrated by the fact that they know that by the end of the current day, their to-do list will be longer than it were at the beginning of the day? How many times have people said to me that on the day or two before they go on holidays, they look at their to-do list almost in a state of panic and then do the things that they've been putting off and thinking about and worrying about and annoying themselves about and feeling guilty about the fact that they've done nothing about it? And then they do it in double quick time and say to themselves, whoa, well, that was actually easy. And it was easy because holidays concentrate the mind. Not being there and having to do something concentrates the mind, as distinct from thinking about what I have to do and putting it off. But the other thing, the other point that I wanted to make with regard to that is that so many people over the years have said to me, I did the important things on the to-do list, and some of the other things just looked after themselves, or someone else did it for me. Which begs the question as to why the thinking mind had put it on the to-do list in the first place. Now, I know the answer to that question, because the thinking mind is stupid. Thinking mind thinks it knows what's going on now in 2026, whereas my thinking mind is understanding what's going on in 2026, thinking that actually what is going on in 2026 is what it thinks is going on now in 1960 or 1961. That's how the thinking mind works, and that's how the thinking mind gets us into all kinds of difficulties, and in the context that we were talking a moment ago, leads to you misbehaving in the company of those that you claim to love. We can only really love those around us, first of all, by turning up. And the corollary of turning up is that I love myself. If you don't love yourself, you're incapable of loving anybody else. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about loving your conceptual self. I'm talking about loving the real you. Again, a phrase that I have used on a number of occasions, and again, a phrase that many people question, asking me, who is the real me? Can you tell me what the real me is, or who the real me is? Well, I can answer the first question. The real you is energy. Flowing energy. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. That is the central point I want to explore in this particular episode. Who is the real you? Well, you can only discover that for yourself when you feel it. And you'll only feel it by allowing yourself settle, allowing yourself be, allowing yourself choose to enjoy yourself in the moment. We know the science behind that. We've talked about it at length. Science confirms that you can do all this deliberately and effortlessly by sitting down to meditate for a few minutes in the morning, and as I've suggested recently, calling yourself to attention during the course of the day, perhaps with a couple of mini meditations. Now, I need to digress for just one moment. Because I suggested in a recent episode that you mini-meditate perhaps half a dozen times a day. What I forgot to say was that if you do that for a couple of weeks, you will find that you don't need to do it anymore, because your mind will start self-correcting. Your mind will start self-checking. Your mind will course-correct moment to moment by virtue of the fact that as a result of your regularly mini-meditating, you further restructure the neural pathways in the subcortical brain so that the key components of the subcortical brain behave in a new, novel way that enables you dance from moment to moment without being distracted by the thoughts that previously had held you back, without being dragged into the dramas of those who are still using their minds normally around you, otherwise known as normal crazy people, thus enabling you know what's going on, know what you have to do. As I said a minute ago, sometimes that will be do nothing. And then doing what you know is best to do and doing it effortlessly without thinking about it. This is the essence of flow. There are decades of research in relation to people in flow and what they experience in flow and how effortlessly effective they are in flow. What I've just described is the essence of flow. Now, when we are in flow, we're always going to make the right impression and leave an impact. Let's look at this from the perspective of where we started this episode with regard to doing a job interview. So many people have talked on our online program owner Zooms on a Wednesday evening about doing interviews in search of what they would describe as their ideal job, and how on so many occasions they do good interviews and don't get their ideal job or what they thought was their ideal job. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Let's talk about making an impression, because so many people have said to me, how am I going to do the perfect interview? Now, there may be no such thing as absolute perfection, but we've talked about perfect moments before. And if you're in the zone or in flow during an interview, you'll experience a perfect moment, regardless of whether you get the job or not. Again, I'll come back to that in just a moment. We make an impression, we make the right impression, when we turn up. And actually, turning up is all that we need to do. Because when we turn up, when we are present, as we've discussed before, presence is attractive. Now, actually, from the perspective of the science of bioelectricity, when we are in flow and our energy is flowing freely through our bodies and it is creating a coherent electromagnetic pulse, you effectively become an opportunity magnet from an electronic perspective. Another aspect of the attraction of presence. Now, even the normally minded person knows what it's like to be with somebody who has presence or charisma. It's nice to be in the presence of somebody like that. The exact opposite of which, of course, is to be dragged down by somebody who is negative, somebody who will suck you dry, somebody after a half an hour in their company, you're only fit to go to bed and lie down for a couple of hours to recover your energy, because those people, those negative people, those energy vampires actually suck your energy from you. They're looking for your attention, and attention comes in the form of energy. They disrupt your energy and you end up being fatigued as a result. But let's come back to making the right impression. All you have to do is turn up. This is how you experience, first of all, perfect moments, even if you're on your own. This is how you experience the joy of wonderful interaction with those you love, beautiful relationships. This is how you get your dream job or your ideal job. And yet, as I said a minute ago, so many people, even on our online program owners' Zooms, would come on those calls and talk about how they'd done a perfect interview or what they thought was a perfect interview, and they haven't got what they thought was their ideal or dream job. And other online program owners would say to them, obviously that job was not for you. Obviously you haven't got that job because something better awaits. There's a better job or what's best for you. And without exception, this is what comes to pass. Now, somebody has asked me recently in another email about making the right impression in an interview and the difference between making the right impression and the wrong impression. I mentioned annoyance, frustration, even guilt a few minutes ago in the context of not doing what you know you have to do, putting things off, wasting your energy thinking about how you can put things off even longer and eventually having to do it. And as a result of your having to do it, realizing that it wasn't half as difficult or time consuming as your thinking mind would have made you believe. Exactly the same thing in the context of any interaction with anybody else. Now, I've come at this from the perspective of an interview, but say you're on your own and you'd love to find what is colloquially called your soulmate. You don't need to go on a dating app for this. You need to get out of your head, first of all, get out of your house and turn up and see what happens. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about and then tell you how it works. On one online program owner Zooms a couple of years ago, one of the participants explained how, when he was living in Hong Kong, he moved from one part of the city to another. And he arrived in his new apartment late at night and just basically fell on the mattress and slept through the night. When he got up the following morning, he was under pressure to get to work and was just about to rush out the door when he said to himself, "No, I feel like having a cup of coffee." Now, it took him a while to find the packing carton that the coffee machine was in. So he was a good 40 minutes later leaving the apartment than he would have been had he not gone with what felt right. There's so many things going on in this little story, which I'll come back to in a moment. He leaves 40 minutes later. He's now obviously a good bit later than he thought he was in the first place. Arrives at a tram stop in a part of the city that he doesn't know, and asks a girl who is standing at the tram stop in which direction trams are travelling, because he needs to get into the city centre. She said, "Stand beside me, there'll be a tram going in that direction in just a minute." A stranger, a chance meeting, an apparent coincidence, a synchronicity, his soulmate, his wife. That's how he met her. So many things are happening in that short story. First of all, he did what felt right. In other words, had a coffee. We've talked before, we've talked very recently, and I'm going to talk about it again now, the importance of what we consider to be small or random events, insignificant coincidences, which are in fact synchronicities. Things that if we feel them and go with them will lead us in the right direction. And because we live our lives in moments, synchronicities inevitably are small because they just happen in the moment. And we will never experience the grand changes in our lives unless we feel and embrace the little signposts, the little changes that lead to the big things. Now, you can't do that if you're not tuned in flow. You can't do that if you're not present. And obviously, turning up at the tram stop with nothing more on his mind than getting to work, he was in flow, he was in the zone. He talked to somebody who the thinking mind might say, well, you can't approach an unaccompanied female early morning at a tram stop. He just said what he needed to say, and the rest is history. He obviously, in being present, made the right impression. If I wake up in the morning and I say to myself, oh God, I need a woman. Now, There's a story behind that. Many, many years ago, when I worked in insurance, one of the guys with whom I worked told a story about me, which was entirely untrue, but got a great laugh at the time, that I'd come into work every morning and say the line that I've just mentioned, "Oh God, I need a woman." I never actually said that, but I suppose it was apparent in my mid-20s that I was looking for my soulmate. But if you are or I am that soldier, and we go out in the morning with this on our mind, that, "My God, I need a woman," or "My God, I need a man," then our transmitter is sending out the wrong signals. Our energy transmits our intentions out into a waiting world. We've explained recently how this actually works from a scientific perspective, and very briefly again, how, when our energy is flowing, we fire off photons of light which carry our intentions out into the universe. That's a scientific fact. If I am present and I'm in the zone, in flow, my coherent flowing energy is going to transmit my best intentions. The old expression, "My intentions are honorable," it's actually going to transmit my intending to experience what is best for the real me. Now, that's entirely different from the selfish me, the conceptual self, because what's best for the real me is best for those around me, because it enables me, as we said a few minutes ago, spread the joy. But if I get up in the morning and say to myself, "Oh God, I need a woman," or, "Oh God, when am I going to get my ideal job?" What am I going to transmit in each interaction, whether it be somebody at a tram stop or somebody who is interviewing me? Instead of transmitting the best of my intentions, I'm going to transmit desperation. And desperation isn't attractive, to put it very mildly. Desperation is an awfully thought-fueled downward spiral, and nobody wants to, if I could use the phrase, get into bed with somebody who is on a downward spiral. It's a turn-off. No, what we need to do is turn up to the here and now and allow our own energy transmit our best intentions. That is how we make the best of impressions. And that is how we get our ideal relationship, our ideal job, our ideal anything and everything moment to moment. That's how we experience perfect moments. And obviously you'll only experience perfect moments if you are present in the perfect moment, which is otherwise known as the here and now. Now, I hear you ask, if that story about me is even half true, many, many years ago, did I ever meet my soulmate and how did that happen? Well, it happened when, obviously, I wasn't thinking about it. It happened that I bumped into a particularly beautiful, vivacious, intelligent, smart, which is I'm not, girl, in the course of my work, when I was focused on doing my job and not at all focused on the fact that perhaps I was looking for my soulmate. My soulmate found me. I didn't go looking. Now, that is really important, because the best things in life find you. The old expression, "Seek and you shall find," is wrong. Don't seek. Allow what is best blow into your life by simply turning up to the here and now, as a result of which you will inevitably make the right impression. When we turn up to the here and now, when we are in flow, when the best of our intentions are flowing out into the universe effortlessly and unimpeded, not only are we going to make the right impression, we're going to find ourselves in the circumstances that enable our right impression lead us forward. Or should I say, the circumstances are going to find us. As I said at the beginning of this episode, where do you see yourself in 5 minutes' time is as just a nonsensical question as where do you see yourself in 5 years' time. You don't need to know where you're going. You need to know where you are. And you'll only know where you are by allowing yourself see, feel, hear, smell, and taste the reality of the moment, rather than allowing the things that you think you want or think you need cloud your understanding of the moment through the fog of the thoughts of what you think about yourself. There's a double whammy here. First of all, we think less of ourselves than we should when we're using our minds normally. We've talked about that at length recently. But secondly, as a result of thinking the less of ourselves, we think that we are unlikely to get what is best for us or what we think we want. We do transmit the desperation that I mentioned a minute ago. We're many steps removed from the reality of the here and now. We don't know what's going on, and even if opportunity slaps us across the face, we won't recognize it for what it is. Flip that coin onto the other side and turn up to the here and now, and not only will you notice opportunity, not only will you recognize and embrace opportunity, you will become the creator of opportunity. Simply by virtue of the fact that your presence is attractive, you will attract into your life the people that you need moment to moment, the information that you need moment to moment, the events that you need moment to moment. Now, I've said need, but I only mean that in the context of you experiencing the things that will move you forward one step at a time. Now, that phrase is really important. We move forward one step at a time. We don't move forward according to some predetermined plan. We talked recently about the madness of planning and how God will chuckle to herself once you tell her your plans. We don't need plans. We've no idea what's going to happen next. We certainly have no idea what things will look like in 5 years' time. We really only need to know what's going on in the here and now, by virtue of the fact that if we do know what's going on in the here and now, in other words, we freed ourselves up, we allow the part of us that already knows what is best for us simply lead us forward one step at a time. And because the part of us that knows what is best for us is sending those intentions freely out into the universe in photons of light, we attract into each here and now everything that is best for us, that leads us to the next here and now. And that's what moving forward actually means. I simply need to be in this here and now, know where I am, do what I need to do without thinking about it, effortlessly, and move into the next here and now. God, do we make our lives so complicated by thinking that we know best. Oh, how we make our lives even more convoluted by thinking that we know where we want to go. And how complicated can it all get when, armed with what we think about ourselves, armed with what we think about what we want and how we'll get it, oh, how we end up caring too much about why things aren't happening for us, getting frustrated, getting annoyed, and thinking that we have some control over how we can move forward. It's all ridiculously complicated. Where in reality, life is extraordinarily simple. I turn up to my life in the here and now. I breathe in and out. I appreciate the joy of breathing in and out. I know what's going on. I know what I need to say and do. I just do it effortlessly and watch the beauty of my life unfold around me. Watch how my life unfolding around me impacts those around me. The impression I give enables me to give the right impression to those around me, enables my presence lift those around me, so that everybody is the better for my having turned up to my life in the here and now. And whereas we said earlier on that every little here and now is important, that every apparent little coincidence or synchronicity is important, so is my apparently little bit of presence in this world. Because if my presence lifts those around me, that spreads out into a world that oh so badly needs calm, presence and joy at this moment in time. Your responsibility for enjoying yourself doesn't stop with you. Your responsibility for being in the here and now has an impact on the world at large. And that is a further source of effortless enjoyment.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.